Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible study in the book of Ephesians. Bible study teacher Beth Seifert has today's lesson. And, of course, don't forget the Bible study notes and questions to help you dig deeper. Those can be found on our website, naomistable.com. Let's open up God's Word and begin.
Today we're going to be in Lesson 14 of our study through the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7 through 14 today, and I've titled this lesson, Brilliant Exposure. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 7. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The Bible gives us general principles for life, and Christians must seek the wisdom to discern how to apply those principles to everyday life, and that's really what we're seeing here. So we have to look back a bit, because there's a therefore, to see who we shouldn't be partners with. Paul has just finished talking with the believers about unbelievers and their disobedience. We should not be partners with them in their disobedience and sin. That makes sense, right? Partners work together for a common goal. What common goal do we have with those who are still in darkness? Nothing of eternal value, truly. Now, this will go along with the next verse, too, but not only are we not to walk in the darkness, and not just that, but we are not to be a part of the darkness, as we once were. Again, there but for the grace of God go I is such a true statement, because that whole list of sins at the beginning of this chapter, that describes us. Paul doesn't remind us of that fact to hurt us or make us cranky. He reminds us of that so that we will appreciate the gift we have been given and strive to pass that gift on to others. He admonishes us not to be partners with the sons of disobedience, but we are to expose their deeds. Well, how do we do that? We are to walk as children of light. The fruit or result of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And we shouldn't be living only for ourselves. Our goal should be to live for the Lord, to discern what pleases Him, not what pleases man, and to strive to please Him. In seeking to glorify God above all else, those dark deeds will be exposed. I picture this as film to be developed. When we are still in our sins, we are the negatives. When we become what God wants us to be, we are suddenly color photographs. Yeah, you can still sort of see the images on the negatives, but it isn't clear. It isn't bright. It isn't all that interesting. We are to be color, to be light, to fill the world with color from God. The context gets a little weird here. Paul starts out this whole chapter talking about two believers about believers. Looking back at verse 3, it says, But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. Paul is giving directions for rooting out sin in the body of Christ. But here, Paul switches gears a bit. Speaking of those who would seek to deceive us with empty words, and he refers to the sons of disobedience again, which we know from chapter 2 refers to the world, unbelievers. So we know that when we know of sins in the body of Christ, we're called to expose them, but it doesn't end there. In our obedience to God, in our desire to keep the spotlight on Him, on His glory and grace and mercy, we will be exposing the sin in the world as well. And I can tell you, ladies, the world's not going to like it. Now, verse 12 really struck me. It is shameful even to talk about what the disobedient do in secret, even to mention it. Notice he doesn't say it's a sin to talk about those things done in darkness, but he does say that it is shameful. Think about the way that that would fill your mind with things that you should not be focusing on, which could be a sin. And yet, those things, they're still done. Those horrible sins still occur. Expose them. Make these shameful things visible. When they are brought into the light, that is when you can deal with the sin. As long as the sin is denied and kept hidden in the dark, as long as the sin is a deep, dark secret, it can't be dealt with. It is only when it is no longer a secret that it can be dealt with for the repentance and restoration of the sinner to the body of Christ. Remember from the first couple of chapters of Ephesians, who raises the dead to life? Before that, what are we all in our sins? Zombies. But God raises us to life. We are the walking dead. So when he gives us new life, he will also shine his light on and through us. The word for expose here is one that suggests correcting or convincing another through argument or discussion. Those who expose sin in others must not gossip or slander in the process. Truly, the purpose of exposing sin is not to beat the sinner over the head with it. The purpose of exposing sin is so that it may be repented of, so that the sinner may be reconciled to God. Thus, the one doing the exposing is to do so in a manner that doesn't slander the sinner or isn't gossiping about the sinner. They are to follow the Matthew 18 pattern to expose the sin in a brother or sister. Do you see that we, as Christ followers, are to be different? We are called to deal with our sin, ladies, and this doesn't say anywhere that we won't sin. But when there is a sin in the body, we aren't to ignore it or pretend it isn't happening. We are to deal with it, to root it out, in order that the person may be reconciled to God, and in order that God's name may not be blasphemed because of us. Do you realize that when we allow unrepentant sin to go unchecked within the body, we are telling the world that our God is nothing different than anything else? They can live however they want to in the world because, after all, that's what we're doing as Christians, and we don't have to repent either. We need to be willing to lovingly come to each other and expose the sin in each other's lives. And we also need to stop justifying our sins by saying, "You don't know my heart," when we are called on our sin. Uzzah, in the time of David, had a good motive to keep the Ark of the Covenant from falling. However, he still sinned in touching the Ark, and God struck him dead for his actions. We need to cast our sins into the light so they can be dealt with. That's the only way we can be freed from the bondage those sins hold on us. I think of two very different families, both of whom have been broken on so many levels by pornography. In both cases, the father set up a rendezvous with a prostitute who turned out to be an undercover cop. And suddenly, that secret they had kept from the world was exposed in the harshest manner. And both of those fathers were professing believers. Oh, ladies, we need to be able to come to each other before that happens. We need to be able to have an environment where we can come to each other to share our temptations and our struggles, to ask for prayers from our brothers and sisters, and to be held accountable. We need to stop acting like we've got it all in control, and when we are scrambling to keep everyone from finding out about that one thing. In both of those instances, I cannot help but think, if only they had confessed their sin and their temptation to someone who would hold them accountable, who wouldn't be horrified and shun them, but who would say, "You need to repent of this temptation, of this desire." Oh, ladies, the outcome would have been so different. We need to confess our sins and ask for help, not struggle alone in trying to be perfect or to earn God's favor. Let others help you carry your burden, to be praying for you in the midst of your temptation so that your dark deeds might not have a hold on you. I guess my question for us all today is sort of twofold. First of all, is there a sin in your life that you know needs to be rooted out, but you are so ashamed that you don't want to admit it? Talk to God about that today. Ask him to help you to find others to come alongside you to help encourage and exhort you and admonish you, and ask him to help you to break that stronghold. Remember, even if you've never told another soul alive about that sin, God watched you do it, and he knows about it. As 1 John says, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness when we confess and repent our sins. Secondly, is there a sin that you need to address that you see in a brother or sister? First of all, ask yourself if you want to address that sin so that you can be right, or are you doing so convinced of your own sins and desiring that your brother or sister be brought back into fellowship with God and the body? If your motive is self-seeking, repent. Deal with your own heart issue first. But if your earnest desire is for that person to be brought back into fellowship, address it. Go to them in love and expose that sin, not to slander or gossip, but to restore. It truly is time for us to wake up, ladies. Being made alive in Christ, we need to stop acting like we're still dead. You can find the notes to this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com. Day 14, Brilliant Exposure.